This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Daryl Benton. Daryl is the Executive Vice President of Business Development at HMS Host, a global restaurateur. Before joining HMS Host, Daryl held leading development roles at Hudson Group, where he was responsible for identifying and developing new business opportunities in North America and working with the company's government affairs department in maintaining relationships with the nation's city mayors, city councils, and other public officials. Prior to Hudson, Daryl was director of concessions and disadvantaged business enterprise for the Greater Orlando Aviation Authority. In this capacity, he oversaw the operations of a $500 million concessions program, which included rental cars, food and beverage, news, and specialty retail. Daryl has also been a vice president of SunTrust Bank, where he gained extensive experience in residential and commercial lending. He received his education from Lake Sumter State College and the University of Central Florida. He and his wife, Jackie, have been married for 33 years. They have three adult children, Sam, Jared, and Danae, two daughters-in-law, and four grandchildren. Welcome to the studio, Daryl. It's an honor to have you here today.
Thank you, Dr. Serto.
You're more than welcome. Listen, before we get started, I think everybody out there would like to know that you know somebody right now on Broadway. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Sam, it's a very exciting time for Jackie and I. Our daughter, Danae, 24 years old, celebrating her debut on Broadway with Josh Groban in a new Broadway play, The Great Comet of 1812, based off of War and Peace.
Awesome. Awesome. And you're not excited about that.
Well, we've been there for the last week. Monday night was opening night, and the New York Times called our baby girl, Danae, a new revelation.
Awesome. Awesome. He's smiling. You can't see him smile, but he's smiling ear to ear here. Okay. Let's get into your job situation, the leadership role that you play, and hopefully we can have listeners who may be in similar roles or different roles, but gaining insights from what you've done. So, about your situation, tell us a little bit more about HMS Host and how it functions.
Absolutely. HMS Host, we are a global restaurateur. We're owned by Auto Grill out of Milan, Italy. If you travel in airports and motorways around the U.S. and Canada, Starbucks is one of our exclusive brands in airports and motorways. We're only one company in the U.S. that Starbucks allows to operate its brand. So it's one of our marquee brands in airports, but motorways like Turnpike, Maryland Turnpike, New Jersey, New York Turnpike. We used to operate here in Florida, but we basically feed you as you travel throughout North America.
Okay. And you talk about the company as a food and beverage operator. What does that mean, food and beverage operator?
Basically, many of the national brands, Burger King, Chili's, Starbucks, they will license their brand to operators. So we get to really run those brands day-to-day in the airport. Thereby, we are an operator.
Okay.
We don't own the brands. We operate them.
Okay. And you manage the facility. You manage the flow of inventory and everything of that nature.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, when you think about your role, tell us about what your role is.
Head of development, and I like to say we're the sales force. I lead a team of six developers. We also have a design and construction component. We have a restaurant development group that goes out and interface with the various brands. And that team of people, we're putting together the leases at the airport. We're sourcing the space. We actually put the deals together, and then we turn it over to our operators who go in and run it day to day. And I lead a team of those developers that cover over 100 airports and motorways in North America.
Okay. How many people are on your team?
My colleague Stephanie and I, we have a team of about 50 people, again, from developers to finance professionals dealing with pro formas and business projections to architects and contractors to ultimately the operators.
Okay, good. Now, we have a feature called Sunday to Monday in each podcast, and this talks about something you might hear, a message on Sunday that you could take then on your workday on Monday and throughout the week and use in a practical way. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, has a message within. And it says that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. But if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone. I thought about your team here, that people picking one another up and helping one another. Do you have instances like that?
Absolutely, and I also refer to a favorite scripture where it talks about the body, where the hand can't really tell the feet that one is more important than the other because all work together for the good for the body. And that's in a team scenario that I deal with daily. It takes an entire team to put together a request for a proposal or respond to a solicitation. Every part of that team, Sam, is coming together to meet a deadline. Quite often in our business, because we're doing business in the public domain, cities and airports, we have strict procurement guidelines that we must follow. So every part of the team must come together to do their part.
When you enter into negotiations with a Starbucks, with a Burger King, with a Chili's, how do those negotiations fit into the idea of, and I know you like to live your faith as you work, how do your ideas and thoughts about justice in negotiating those terms come into play? Everybody wants as much as they can get. I don't know that that's what everybody should want all the time. How does that fit into your background?
You know, often, and since we're dealing with the $1 bill, quite often, you know, a dollar comes in, I tell everyone, to the cash register, and after you pay your sales tax, you're really working off of that dollar to create a bottom line profit. So negotiating with the brand, negotiating with the suppliers, negotiating with your labor force, all of that, Sam, has to be done in a win-win scenario, because at the end, there's only $1 that we're working from. So you take the cost of goods from that $1. So dealing with the suppliers, I've got to have a fair price for my supplies. And that works all the way down to the bottom line. So everyone dealing with each other fairly, equitably, and creating a win-win is how I go into negotiations.
I can imagine how much trust must be in a room where somebody gives you the opportunity to sell their brand.
If you think of Starbucks or you think of Burger King or Chili's, these are companies that do not operate in an airport. They operate on the street all day long. Mm-hmm. So they entrust HMS hosts to execute their brands to their standards, and that does require a lot of trust.
You talk about people's needs in preparing for this, and we exchange materials, and you talk about the idea of listening to people for their needs, and you relate that to stress, and that you see yourself, in a sense, as a manager of the stress of other people. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, the scripture, and quite often now, everyone wants to stay young. My wife gets upset with me, say, when I tell her, I said, Jackie, I'm the old man the Bible speaks of, and because at some point you find yourself at a mature age. And now I find myself, Sam, being able to listen to my colleagues, my team, to see that work is what they do to help fulfill their personal needs, their family, their children, their spouses, their significant others. So my role is to be that coach and that counselor to make sure they have a better day at the workplace, because I'm open to what is life like for you outside of the workplace if you need to talk about that.
And what are some of the things that that are stressors? In other words, those things that cause stress in your workplace, as you think about your team and maybe even some of the actual operations. What are some of the factors that pop up in your mind as those things that may cause stress, and how do you deal with those?
Sure. You know, because we live in a very busy world today, very, very few people are able to just be calm and listen. So I know, because I am a husband, I am a father, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a grandfather. So I know that world because I live it and I have lived it. So now I'm able to project that with my colleagues to understand that, what are you bringing to work? And quite often people don't want to talk about it, but it's still just as important for me to know that those stresses are there, because our job stress is that we must win and extend leases. So we're the sales force. If we're not bringing in business, the company isn't succeeding. So our jobs are very stressful in their own nature. So the goal is to create a good work environment, eliminate as much stress as you can from the workplace, even though you still have to meet those objectives. The last piece is, make sure as the leader, you're not creating that stress.
Okay.
So that's very important, that I go in saying, and I'll tell my colleagues, I want to make sure that I'm not a part of any undue stress on your life, in your family's life. And that's my responsibility.
What do you think, because stress is a big deal in organizations and as it relates to leadership, and as people are listening to this, what are some of the things that might cause stress in your team that you might bring as a leader that you have to make sure that you don't bring as a leader?
Temperament. Temperament is key. We overlook it, but my demeanor can either communicate calmness or it can communicate stress.
Yes.
So I try to check my stress at the door. That's my responsibility as a leader, because if I'm coming in with a lot of energy, demonstrating that I'm stressful, that stress in the family is going to transfer to the family. It does the same thing in the workplace. So I'm trying to focus on that daily. I'm reading a book now about mentoring, is being able to serve as a mentor even in the workplace.
And that book is The Heart of Mentoring?
That is correct.
By David Stoddard, in case anybody is interested in that. What does that heart look like? What does the mentor's heart look like?
The mentor's heart is one of service. I mean, we've heard about servant leaders. We've talked about having the spirit of being a servant. And that's what this book talks about. The heart of a mentor, someone who's mentoring, is to be able to give of yourself. That's really what it's about, being able to give of yourself to someone else.
As you look at your operation in your organization and what you do as a leader, I know that what you try to live by is what a lot of people refer to as the golden rule, and it actually becomes a passage. As you read the Bible, it talks about do to others as you would have them do to you, and that's Luke 6:31. And as you think about that passage, what is its import on the life of a leader? We're having people listen to this conversation, and you've already given lots of ideas and thoughts about the way they should form their hearts. When you think about the idea of passing on information here and doing to those what you would like to have done to you, what is the power of that?
I'm prepared to share with the listeners something that happened this week around our daughter, Danae, in New York. I have six developers who work with me, and Jackie and I decided for our holiday gift to them that we would invite them and their spouses to New York. And that just happened this past weekend.
Okay.
So, and it was a financial blessing that we decided to share, but I watched the one husband and the five wives interface with their spouses who worked with us, And Sam, the joy, yes, we were sharing Danae's success with others, but many of the wives and the one husband had never been to New York. They had never been to a Broadway play. Mm. And we received some cards, and one of the spouses said, this trip has changed our lives for the better.
Wow.
So that's that golden rule. And I called it a tithe. I called it it was a seed, because like the farmer, you know, the Bible says that, you know, the farmer has to toil the land, and then the farmer has to put effort and plant the seed. The Bible says some bird will come along and eat some of them, but one's going to fall on good ground. And this weekend, I got a chance to see that.
That's awesome. Now, let's take that scenario and go a little bit more with it, and that you created the joy in their lives and, in essence, gave them a different perspective about maybe what they might like to do in the future. And that sounds all very good Christianship. And the purpose of these podcasts is to talk about Christian principles and business principles and how they fit together. Now, not looking at this from a selfish viewpoint, but what impact and power and import does that also have on your company, that experience on your company?
Well, again, as a Christian, and I live this word, I try to daily, is that how do we live in the marketplace? How is that light that is shining, how does it shine and reflect on others? So in the workplace, and I saw it play out Monday as we were in the office yesterday, I think my leadership was reflected not only on the team that works with me, not for me, but with me, but it reflected on their families. Mm. So that's going to create a different colleague relationship between me and my team. Their significant others, their wives and husbands now, they know us. Mm. And we may interface at a holiday party by the company, but this was an intimate weekend. So that's going to translate right back into the company and how we work together as that team we started off with talking
good.
About.
Good. Now, I have a challenge for you. Every podcast ends with a pearl of wisdom, and that pearl of wisdom is a thought that you might like to pass on that might be practical and useful for everybody that's listening in. And how do you put into words what that recommendation would be in a short form?
We are living in a time where we need to really communicate and show this love of Christ in the marketplace. We don't have to walk around with a banner, but that light when people say, well, what is different about Sam? What is different about Daryl? And then the question may be answered. Well, Daryl, why? People will ask me, why are you like this? And it opens the door for me to then say, well, look, I have a faith. And that faith, which is Christ Jesus for me, daily exemplifies in my life that it's not all about me. It is about my impact on others. And Sam, I do go about this day reading this book, The Heart of Mentoring. Books sometimes put the words to what you're trying to do it with your life. I'm at this phase in my life where I want to truly serve. I'm not necessarily a pastor, but I'm in the marketplace and therefore showing my Christian faith daily.
You're an effective and successful business person who is also a minister on duty.
Thank you so much. I'm going to paraphrase that one and take it. I'm going to take
free.
That one.
Don't even quote it.
Okay.
I hate to say this to all the listeners out there, but unfortunately, Daryl's time is up. Daryl, thank you so much for being here today and sharing with us. Listeners can email Daryl with his address, daryl.benton@hmshost.com. And let me spell this for you. It's daryl.benton@hmshost.com. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. See you all next Wednesday. In the meantime, you already know what I'm going to say. Keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.